John's Gospel, chapter number 21. I'd like to start reading in verse number 12, just to give you the background. The Bible tells us in this chapter that this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples. He appeared twice before when the disciples were gathered in the upper room. One week after the other, the first time Thomas was missing, the second time Thomas was there. But in verse number 12, we begin to read, the disciples have been fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus told them to cast the net on the other side, and they did. And the net was full of fish, big fish, large fish. And they drug them to shore. Verse 12, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Last week we preached a message we simply entitled, Loving One Another. Today I want to preach a message to be, I believe, a greater command and a greater need than the one we preached last week, because of what Jesus asked Peter, we should ask ourselves. You see, keeping the commandment that we stressed last week, loving the brethren, is not possible unless we really have this realization in our heart. Do we love the Lord? This admonition to Peter, which begins in verse 15, and Jesus asked this question, and he didn't just ask him, first of all, in verse 15, "Lovest thou me?" But he put a stipulation on it, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And that's the real challenge. As I said last week, it's easy to say you love the brethren. Well, it's just as easy to say I love the Lord. But when we add to that what Peter was challenged with, "Lovest thou me more than these?" then it becomes a little more difficult to answer. If we're honest, and I trust we are, to answer this question, this admonition which Jesus, I believe, gave to Peter. You know, when I read this and the way the Lord wrote it or spoke it so that John would write it like this, "Lovest thou me more than these," we immediately must go back to the last night of the Lord's life when Peter said, "Though all forsake thee, I'll not forsake thee." You can read that back in Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35. But let's turn and read in Luke also, chapter 22. Just hold your place. We'll come back in just a moment. Luke chapter 22, where again we find Jesus dealing with Peter in this matter. In verse 31 of Luke 22, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." That was his bold acclaim when Jesus told him Satan wanted to sift him. Verse 34, he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So the Lord answered Peter's statement, Peter's boast, that he was ready to die for the Lord. And he said, "Before the cock crow, you'll deny me three times." So when we read this back in our text, you might understand why the Lord put it to Peter as he did. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now, there's a lot of different opinions about what "these" means, and I'm not getting into that. And it could mean fishing, the living that he was making. That's what he was doing. He went back to fishing. Chapter 21 begins with that. "I go fishing." It could mean anything else, but I believe the Lord deliberately left it open because it should mean something to you if you profess faith in Christ. Then you'll have something, no doubt, to inject into that question. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Whatever it is. I believe there's a stronger argument for the first part. "Do you love me more than these other men that are with me that you boasted that you love me so much that you're ready to die for me and with me? You love me more than these do?" But nonetheless, that's not my message. A message is simply a question. "Lovest thou me?" How important is this question? I believe it's more important than what I stressed last week. And we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know we're commanded to love the brethren by the Lord. But don't you think it's more important that we love the Lord Jesus Christ even more than the brethren? "Lovest thou me more than these?" Now, Peter loved these men. Remember, they all went fishing together. Some of them were his partners in the fishing business. They were all here with him. The answer is found in verse 15, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." No doubt you've heard that in the Greek language, which we have, the New Testament is written in Greek, Peter's answer is not with the same word that the Lord asked him. The Lord asked him with a Greek word, agapeo, which I believe more than anything else is a divine word. It expresses a love that God has for his son. It's used in that manner. It's also used in other ways. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 and 26, husbands, love your wives. Not the word that Peter used in answering phileo, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. The same word that's translated love here when Peter answers him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee, I'm fond of you, is the same word that's translated when Judas betrayed the Lord, he betrayed him with a kiss, and the word kiss is actually phileo. It was a sign he'd given those men who came with him. The one that I kiss, he's the one. It's a word that was used to express fondness, also used to express admiration. But Jesus didn't ask him that. He asked him, lovest thou me more than these? The word that's used so often, Jesus used it when he quoted the Ten Commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. It was the word agapeo, that divine word. That word that Jesus used in Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44, when he said, love your enemies. He didn't mean be fond of them. He meant to love them with that divine love, which enables you to be more than just friends with them, to like them, to respect them. You've got to have more than that to do what the Lord would expect of us. The same word that Paul used in Romans 8, and I will just read this to you quickly. You don't have to turn there because I'm coming right back to John, and I know that you're familiar with this, but I want to read this text in verse 37 of Romans 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, agapeo. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the agapeo of love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, this word is used to stress that great love that God has for men, the love that he wants husbands to have for their wives. Christ's love expressed to men in several different ways. So when he asked Peter, lovest thou me, Peter would not answer him with the same word. And I believe there's a reason for that. Because we go back to his boast just a few days prior to this, when he said, I'm ready to die for you. And we go back to the same chapter number 22 of Luke, and we read further on after Peter denied him three times. And the Bible says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and that Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, we sang that hymn song, the choir song this morning. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. I think that's what happened to Peter, don't you? He went out and he wept bitterly. Peter had a work ahead of him. The Lord knew it. Peter didn't even know it at this point. But the Lord had a great purpose for Peter's life. And yet, in the state that he was in, when he made that boast, if all deny you, I'll not deny you. I'm ready to die with you. He was not in a condition to fulfill the work that God had for him. So whether it's an expression of human love, such as husbands love your wives, or divine love, which the Bible says the Father expressed toward His Son, the Son expressed toward the Father. They always use that word agapeo. But this morning, notice the Lord isn't through with Peter yet. He answered him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know I love you." And he saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Feed my lambs. First time he instructed Peter, he just simply is talking to him about making sure that those little ones, the smaller ones, the lambs in the flock, are fed, nurtured, and taken care of. That's why he built his church. That's why we're here today. The Bible tells us in that same chapter in Ephesians that that's what he does in the fifth chapter. He feeds us, he cleans us with the washing of water by the word. He makes sure that we're fed, that we have a place to eat. And not only that, but we're led to the place to eat. So he said, "Feed my lambs." It's interesting, again, if you read this and you pay much attention to what you're reading, you find the word "feed" is different than the word he's going to use later on. And you'll see when we get to that. This is the same word that was used in the maniac of Gadara. Remember those hogs that were grazing? The same word. They were feeding those hogs. But Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs." I've got some lambs. I've got some that are not mature yet. I've got some that are young. They're kind of like a lamb in the flock. And I want you to feed them. Verse 16, he saith unto him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Again, he uses the word agapeo, the strong word. And again, Peter answers, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I'm fond of you. You know I respect you. You know I look up to you, I admire you." Because he uses the word phileo. He doesn't use agape. Have you ever been in a position that Peter was in and never felt what Peter was feeling? Have you ever been in a situation where you'd fail the Lord and you're really ashamed of yourself? You can't seem to, you know the Lord forgives you, but you can't seem to forgive yourself. Then you know why Peter is hesitant to use this stronger word. The Lord's going to restore him, but it's a slow process. Sometimes that happens in our life. We do make mistakes. None of us are what we need to be. "You know I'm fond of you." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. The second time, "feed my sheep," is a different word. The word "feed" is a word used of rulers. It's used for people in authority. He's not just saying, make sure they have grazing, make sure that they have something to feed on, like the Word of God. Don't just preach the Word of God to them, but use the authority that I'm going to give you. Now, I think Peter understood this because we read in, and you need to turn and read this with me, in 1 Peter chapter 5, the words of the Apostle Peter, which I believe tell us clearly that he knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said this time, "feed." Different Greek word. More meaningful, covered more of his responsibility. Verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1. "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God. Now the word here is the same as the word that Jesus used when he said, feed my sheep. It's not the word he used when he said, feed my lambs. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Now read further, taking the oversight. Do you see what I'm trying to get you to understand? Don't just give them something to graze on. Don't just feed them the word of God, but be responsible for them. Taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Don't do it for money, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know what he's doing in this particular passage in John? I believe he's plainly revealing to Peter and to those who were with him. Peter was going to become the pastor of the church. He was going to take on the responsibility of not just preaching to them, not leading them in a business meeting, but on the day of Pentecost, he was appointing Peter to stand up to preach to those Jews. And then when God saved 3,000 people, he laid up on the shoulders of the Apostle Peter the responsibility of that church. Feed my sheep. Take the responsibility of a ruler. Take the responsibility of one who has authority. You can read it in Hebrews in the last chapter. We'll not turn and read that. But three times, the writer of Hebrews admonishes the people of God, obey them that have the rule over you. Admonish them, encourage them. Because when God puts a man over a church, that's what he's doing with Peter. Feed my sheep. Don't just preach to them. Preaching's easy. There's more to it than that. Be responsive to them. Be like Luke chapter 15, in the first part of that, about the 90 and 9. There are 90 and 9, the old song goes. But one straight away, who was to go after the one? The one who was feeding the sheep. The one who had responsibility, not only of the 90 and 9, but he had responsibility to that one, and he had to go after that one. And he went after him, and he caught him, and he lay him on his shoulder, and he brought him back. And the Lord is restoring Peter to the position that he intended for him all along, but he could not fulfill that position in the condition that he was in when he said, I go fishing. Yes, he had wept some tears, and I believe he repented of his boast. But there's something more needed. You need to recognize that the Lord expected more of him than just being sorry for what he had done. And I think Peter was so hesitant to use the word agapeo because he still did not fully grasp that God had forgiven him and he needed to forgive himself. Let's read on. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now it's striking when you read this that Jesus now uses Peter's word. Peter, are you really fond of me? Do you respect me? Am I your friend? Am I like a brother to you? It's interesting when Jesus gave the commandment, and people really struggle with this at times, when he said, if you love your father, your mother, even your own wife, more than you love me, you know what word he used there? Phileo. And wouldn't that be natural? Because phileo, compared to agape, expresses a difference in love. If you love your mother and your father, you should love them in the same way that Peter was saying he loved the Lord. You should be fond of them. You should respect them. You should feel a responsibility of them. But when it comes to the Lord, don't ever put your family. Don't ever agape-o your family, because you need to phileo your family. You need to love them. You need to be responsible for them. You need to do what the Bible tells you to do. But number one in your life, number one in your heart, number one in your love is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have that? But the Lord, I believe, for Peter's benefit, says, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And again, Peter will not use agapeo. He used the same word the Lord used. You know I'm fond of you. You know I respect you. You know I consider you my master, my Lord. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now he uses the same word he used concerning the lambs. You see, there is a responsibility, and the main responsibility of a pastor to a church. And let's turn quickly to Ephesians and read this, because I think it'll mean more to you if you see it in writing. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's the strong word. That's the same word as relates Christ's love for us and our love for him when we've been saved. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Feed my sheep. How we feed the sheep? Just like I'm doing right now, hopefully. With the washing of water by the word. I'm preaching to you the events in the life of Christ, the events in the life of Peter. And beloved, as the Holy Spirit is in you, it doesn't escape you. You know this applies to you. You know it applies to me. You know, as we preach these things, we're fulfilling what God would have us to do. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Responsibility for us to love our wives is strong. It's emphasized in the Word of God. But beloved, as I said when I began this message, this is one of the greatest things in our life. Lovest thou me? Jesus asked Peter for our benefit. We should ask ourselves, do we love him? What can we learn from this? What can we draw from these instances that we've read here? Now, as I said in the beginning, we'll never be able to keep the other commandment, the clear commandment to love the brethren, if we don't love the Lord first. We love him because he first loved us. Now, if we love him, then we still have to deal with loving the brethren, all the things that are involved. But beloved, if we have that agape love, that divine love, which the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse number 9, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We're taught of God, and that's the word agapeo. We're taught to love one another. But it all begins with loving the Lord. Our claims to love ought to be toned down maybe sometimes when it comes to speaking of our love for the Lord. Peter wouldn't dare. Never in all of this did Peter ever say, Lord, I have that kind of love that you really want me to say. I really do love you. With that divine love, with that agape love. Now we know that he did, because his life proves it. But he wouldn't say it. Sometimes we claim things that we really don't feel right about. The Bible is teaching us the same contrast that he's teaching Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Again, we don't know what it was, but in your life it'll be something different. Because we're all different. We all got different temptations. We all got different things to pull at us to try to take away that love that we ought to be giving to the Lord. And it'll draw us away from the love that we really ought to have for him. We might ought sometimes to tone our claims of love down to fondness, like Peter did. He was wise enough to do that, wasn't he? Lord, you know I'm fond of you. In the next few verses, and we read this, but I'm not going to dwell on it very long, Peter is told that the boast that he made about dying for the Lord would truly come to pass. But here's the lesson. It couldn't come to pass until Peter became a changed person. That boastful spirit that was in him had to be turned to weakness. And here it is. That assurance in himself, when he said, though all forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee, it had to be revealed to him that he was not really that strong. And that's why the words of that song we sang this morning should mean something to us. Every time you sing that, he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. See what? See our weakness. See our lack of love. See how far short we come of what we ought to be in light of who he is and what he has done. Who could possibly demand more of us than the Lord Jesus Christ? When we read in Romans 8, we read this already, and we see that great love that he has for us, nothing. I'm persuaded, Paul says, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. What should that do to us as a person? I believe it ought to bring a response, don't you? Tim sings that song, he must have loved me a lot. It's a simple song, but boy, it has a great depth. He must have loved me a lot. Only thing I don't like about that song is he still loved me a lot. I'm thankful for that. It's expressing the time you were saved, but it still goes on. He still loves us a lot. When we're right, when we're wrong, when we're weak, when we're strong, like Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached that great message in all strength. Where did he get that strength? He didn't have it before. God washed his eyes with tears. He went out and wept bitterly. And then through this personal ministration of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his word, he told him, I've got a great work for you. And you need to be strong for it. You can't stand in yourself. You're not going to be able to stand in your own strength, supposed strength. You're going to have to stand with me. If we claim to love the Lord more than Peter, that would be a foolish boast, don't you think? Peter died for the Lord. The Lord told him what was going to happen to him. Now, history tells us, and take it or leave it, that Peter was crucified upside down. He refused to be crucified in an upright position because he didn't feel it right. Because Christ was crucified upright. They asked him to crucify him upside down. That's historical. So take it or leave it. But it makes sense. Peter learned what we need to learn. Our love can get strong at times and it can get very weak. Matter of fact, one of the warnings about the coming of the Lord is the love of many shall wax cold. You better be alarmed by that. Our love for Christ is vital. We don't have anything without it. If we don't really love the Lord, all of our religion, all of our activities, our hypocrisy, they mean nothing. And the Lord wants and deserves first place in our life. Our love for Him should be supreme to anything that we have in life. We ought to be like Mary, who sat at His feet, listened to His word, and grew. We ought to be like Mary Magdalene, who stood in the garden and wept because she thought they'd taken away the body of the Lord. She expressed her love. But even as Peter, in a restored condition, was ordained pastor of the church that the Lord had already built, they chose someone before Pentecost to take his place. There must be 12 witnesses. The church was already there. 120 people had already been added to it. And then there were 3,000 more. And who's going to take on that responsibility? Well, we know it was Peter. But I just want to ask in closing, agapeo thou me? Do you love the Lord? Has your love gone indifferent or cold even at this very moment? You don't love the Lord like you even want to. You need to draw nigh to God. James says He'll draw nigh to you. You also need to remember what Ron read this morning in the devotion. Not very many of you here, but I'll read this again because of what it contains in Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who's rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Both of those you might understand are agapeo. One time it's agape, whether it's a verb or a noun. The other time it'll be agapeo. But I ask you, I want you this morning to ask yourself this question. Do you love the Lord? Can you honestly say without your own conscience convicting? You know, John says in one of his epistles, if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth our heart. Ask yourself this question, not for my benefit. It won't help me if I knew. But it may help you to really know. I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything in my life. I want to put Him first. I want to love the brethren. And I know I need this first. I want to be bold like Peter. He was bold on the day of Pentecost. There's a greater throng there that day than there was on the night he denied the Lord. There's just a couple of little maids running around there accusing him. And he denied the Lord when he denied Him. But I'll tell you, he stood up on the day of Pentecost and there was a whole people from every country that was mentioned there, gathered there. And he stood up in the midst of them and said, ye with wicked hands have crucified and slain your own Messiah. I'm paraphrasing that. What's your answer this morning to yourself, to the Lord? Lovest thou me more than these? May God help us to seek that kind of love for ourselves, for our families, for those who know us, because it comes out. Brother Johnson used to say about the old gourd, you put the soap in there, but it leaks out. If you love the Lord, it's going to come out, and people are going to see it. They're going to know it. So I pray that your answer this morning will be such that you want that kind of love. I don't think he'll hold back. Why would he hold back his love if we really want it? That's our message. Father, use your word according to your divine purpose. We ask it and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.